Morning, Devin. Oak, my goodness, I thought you'd be more awake after those songs. Good morning, Devin.
Good morning.
Don't you hate it when they do it again? Yeah. Right? I'm like, oh, okay, fine. I'm going to let you have it this time, right? Well, if you're new, I want to welcome you. I'm Pastor Bert. And yeah, I'm glad you're here, everybody, on this rainy morning. It's one of those Alberta days, right? 80 degrees yesterday, minus 20 today, whatever. It's just the way it goes. If you don't like the weather in Alberta, stay 5 minutes, right? Yeah. And going alongside with that, you got this lovely picture, right? I love the outdoors. I'm an outdoors guy, but it never fails. Whenever I want to go outside, it's going to rain or it's going to snow. Or worse. Is there something worse? Maybe, probably. But, you know, I love camping. I love fishing. I love hunting. You name it. If it's out in the bush where it's quiet, where there's not a lot of people. But I love it here, too. Yeah, and the thing is, all of us, right? We all need those times away. People energize me, but because of that, I can get caught up in that, right? I can get caught up in that and get that surge of energy, but it's usually in those times God's saying, you know, I need you to come away. Just be quiet so you can hear me. Get away from folks so you can hear me. And to me, that's really a lot of why I love being out in the bush so much. I can hear a mouse walking, you know, scurrying by 50 feet away. And I can hear God's voice speak much more clearly to me than when I'm in my office or in a place where there's others. You know, and because I like being outdoors, I like all of that stuff. I love all the shows, you know, that they have on TV. My stepdad used to get the Outdoors Channel, and so whenever we'd visit, we'd watch all these shows and talk about all the different stuff. I especially really enjoyed the shows that were hosted by my fellow Canadian, Lee Strout, and my Christian brother, Bear Grylls, a very sincere believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, the tips and the guidance that those guys give really have, there are different times, they've been invaluable to me, and they can be invaluable to all of us if you ever find yourself in an outdoor, you know, sort of a survival situation, right? And the reality is, some of the things they show us could even save our lives. 10 years ago, I finally got to experience, for me, which was something that was on my bucket list, and that was to take a missions trip to Africa. I was so excited about the possibility. While I was there, they had a couple days where we were going to have some time off, and I thought, I get to go on a safari. That's going to be so cool, right? Well, the busy schedule, those days got eaten up faster than we could realize, and I never actually got to go on a safari while I was there, so I'm going to have to go again, I guess. But I did get to hear about a photographer who went on a safari while he was there. On the first day, his guide drove him to the edge of an immense jungle near the foot of a mountain. They got out of their vehicle, he said, and started the trek up the mountain path. Apparently, there had been a lot of rainfall in that area, and trust me, I was in Burundi for a while. It is literally a jungle, and it's very rainy. So the ground was soft where they arrived, right, which was actually perfect, the photographer thought, for them to go in unnoticed. Nobody would hear their footsteps, right? And after walking for about an hour, the guide brought them to the edge of this gorgeous vista, right on the edge of this huge valley overlooking the jungle canopy. And as they enjoyed the spectacular view and the photographer took some shots, the edge, which had been weakened by the earlier rains, suddenly gave way under their feet. And they both slid for several hundred feet into the valley below. When the slide finally stopped, the photographer realized that, you know, during his speedy descent, he'd actually become separated from his guide. He waited And he called out for several minutes before he decided, I need to try to find my way out of here or up the bank or something. And once he felt like he had his bearings, he slowly started making his way through the bush. After several hours, he saw what appeared to be a camp. And he excitedly came stumbling up towards a man who was sitting by a campfire. And he said, am I ever glad to see you? I've been wandering around lost for 3 hours. The guy says, don't get too excited. I've been lost for 3 weeks. You know, there are times in life when we all need a guide, isn't there? It's like the ground has slid out from under us. And we don't know what to do. We don't know where to go. The fortunate thing for those who trust in Jesus is that he promises to always guide us every step of the way, every day, if we'll listen to him. So that we can actually live our best life ever. One place where God makes this promise is a song that was recorded by the famous shepherd king, David of Israel. In fact, we already read it earlier this morning. I'm just going to pick out a couple verses from it, though, that we read during our praise and worship. In Psalm 32, verses 8 to 11, it says, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but unfailing love surrounds those who trust the Lord. So rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all you who obey him. Shout for joy, all you whose hearts are pure. So here we have this promise from God, right? That he will guide us, he'll advise us, and he'll watch over us, he says. He will lead and he will protect us through this life. And there's one thing you can be certain of. God has both the integrity and the ability to keep his promises. Like I said, he's a good God. He's a great God. He's great. He can do amazing things, but he's good. He wants to do it, right? Talk about a no-stress life when I look at this. When we know and trust that God is actually guiding us and protecting us, really, what is there to worry about? It's no wonder David said to rejoice and shout for joy. David's song shows us that there are essentially two areas where we and every person needs God's guidance. And the first is in the area of moral and spiritual guidance. And if you have your outlines and you like to take notes, that's a good thing to put in there, moral and spiritual guidance. It doesn't take a rocket scientist today, does it, to realize that there is a huge moral vacuum in our world. Modern Western society especially has slipped into many areas, in so many areas of when it comes to morality and ethics and stuff. And the Judeo-Christian foundation upon which our culture was built is rapidly being replaced by the shifting sands of popular opinion and mob rule. Right has become wrong, and wrong is right. There's an ever-increasing need in our town, our country, our world for moral and spiritual guidance. Israel's King Solomon is known as the wisest person in antiquity. And in his book of Proverbs, it's found in the Bible, he says this, without guidance from God, law and order disappear. But God blesses everyone who obeys his law. Wow, that sounds like a news headline right now, doesn't it? Without guidance from God, law and order disappear. You know, when Solomon speaks of God's law here, when he says everyone who obeys his law, he's referring to some of the oldest books that we have in the Bible, mainly because at Solomon's time, that's all that was written. He's not referring to a bunch of do's and don'ts that are impossible for people to fulfill. In fact, Jesus himself summed up all of God's law, all of his instructions, all of what God said in the Bible for people to do when he said this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important: love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. This is it, folks. Love God, love people, then you're on the right path. Jesus said, if you follow these two laws, loving God, loving people, you are fulfilling everything that God requires of you. And the Bible gives us hundreds of examples of how we should and should not live in order to know how to love God and how to love others. The early church leader Paul said it like this in the letter he wrote, church that was in Rome at that time. He said, such things were written in the scriptures, in the Bible, long ago to teach us. And the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. So Paul says that the Bible was actually written to teach us and give us hope and encouragement in our lives. And it helps us to trust that all of God's promises, including his promise to guide us, will happen. And that's why David wrote in our text today, to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Be glad, all you who obey him. When we obey God's instructions to love him and love people, we can be sure that he will guide us to become who he wants us to be, and he'll bless our lives with hope and courage. Second kind of guidance that God promises here is practical and providential guidance. Practical and providential. You know, while moral and spiritual guidance, to me, it seems to cover a more general, overarching, however you want to say that, guidance for good living, right? Kind of doing the right thing, following the right path, doing what God says. This kind of guidance is that we're talking about here, this practical stuff, is more situational, right? Those moments like when you have to make a decision and you don't know what to do in certain circumstances. It's for that moment, maybe you get two job offers and you're wondering, which one do I take, right? Another song David wrote, he says this: the Lord guides us in the way we should go and protect those who please him. He guides them and protects those who please him. Very similar to what we read in Psalm 32, right? I will guide you along the best pathway for your life, it said. This is the great news for everyone in our mixed up world today. God promises to guide you along the best path for your life. God has a particular purpose for each and every one of us, right? And the amazing thing is that he's actually given you exactly what you need to accomplish it already. What you are called to do, nobody else is called to do in quite the same way. As we've already seen, we're all called to love God and love people, right? But we don't all do that the same way. You may be able to shovel your neighbor's sidewalks when it snows. Or you may give your time and talent tutoring a struggling student. You may volunteer at the hospital. Or you may open your home to foster kids. It's not one or the other. It's all those things. And all of us can't do all of those things, but together, all of us do all those things, right? My life is not your life. Your life is nobody else's life. We all have different interests, abilities, and availability. And maybe this is why sometimes it can seem so hard to find the right thing. We get so confused. What is God's will for me, right? Take a teacher, for instance. If you're a teacher You know you've got that gifting, you've gotten the education, you're good at it. How do you know what or where you should teach? Should you teach math or biology? Should you teach elementary or high school? In private or public school? Do I teach in Devon, Drayton Valley, or Dallas? Right? You see, there's so many choices. How do you know what to do? You know what you're supposed to do, but how do you know all the rest that goes with that? Which one is God's will for you? Well, again, I believe Solomon gives us some great advice. For anyone that's in this situation, he says this, trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Isn't that good? When you live your life to please God, he promises to guide you along the right path. That doesn't mean he'll necessarily tell you audibly. He may. He does that, you know. Or he may show you in a dream, or through some special or miraculous circumstance that happens. Or he may just tell you plainly through other people who will just encourage that in your life. Or you know, I heard about this place, blah, 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 right? So he encourages us through other people. I've actually had God guide me in all of these different ways throughout my life. And whether he's spoken audibly or just in my thoughts, I can't really say. I just knew clearly it was him speaking to me, right? For example, when I was first struggling with what do I do with my life, I'd graduated from Bible college, and I'm like, I had my own lineup, what I was going to do. I was going to go back to university, become a phys ed teacher and all this stuff. And God spoke to me at a service through a preacher who asked, what are you going to do with your life? Will you work for God or for yourself? And it felt, even though the preacher said those words, I felt like God was saying it right here to me. So I responded, God, I want to do what you want me to do. And I felt that he wanted me to serve his church as a pastor. And some years later, as is oft to do, that calling is tested, or was tested. I went through a very difficult situation in a particular church where I was actually fired and told I probably shouldn't be a pastor, but I'd be a good teacher. So I took a week to fast and pray about what God still wanted me to do. God, am I supposed to keep on this, or is this a sign, right? And again, I felt him firmly telling me he hadn't changed his mind. And you know what happened? That very day, as soon as I got home, I got 3 calls in a row from different churches, from pastors who didn't even know I'd been fired. That still floors me to this day. But God, folks, that's just how God works. If you're as dense as I am, he'll do that for you. Right? That's how he guides us. And just to be clear, he doesn't just do that for pastors. There's nothing special about me, nothing that makes me better than anyone else. We've all been given different roles, different responsibilities to fulfill for him. And everyone has an important part to play in his plan of restoring people back to him. I think this is a good time, maybe, to mention a problem that I found that each of us face from time to time, because I've faced them. When we don't have that clear direction, we're not quite sure. Maybe we're starting to feel a little bored with where we're at, or whatever it is. We just feel maybe some tension. We're not sure, did I hear God clearly? Do I know what I'm supposed to do? Is he telling me to do something different? Or those times when it just seems God's silent. Like, what's going on, God? I want to give you 4 suggestions as to why you can be in that place, and you can be feeling those emotions, feelings, whatever. 4 quickly. The first is that you're already on the right path. You're exactly where God wants you to be right now, doing what he wants you to do. Whether you're aware of it or not, God has actually been guiding you, and he's guided you right to where you are today. You're already doing what he wants you to do, when and where he wants you to do it. That means keep on doing it, right? Until God shows you if there's some, whatever your next is, he will make it clear for you. So the first reason that sometimes we don't hear very clearly is we're already doing what we're supposed to do, so we just keep doing it. Second thing, God is letting you choose. We don't like this one, do we? This can be a whole lot more difficult for us. That God is actually trusting you to make the right choice, the right decision with the information he's already given you. Whether he's trusting or testing you, it's your choice to make. Yeah, like I said, we don't like this. Because we think, what if I mess up? What if I make the wrong choice, right? What if my little error in judgment messes up my life forever? Well, if you're thinking that way, you have a very limited view of how much God cares about you. Do you honestly think God is not big enough to fix your biggest mistake? The Bible gives us many examples of those who are considered to have been great people of faith, and examples of them messing up horribly at certain times in their lives. And yet, God worked it out all for them. I want you to listen to Paul's explanation of this to the Roman church. He says, we are confident that God is able to orchestrate everything, to work towards something good and beautiful when we love him and accept his invitation to live according to his plan. I love that translation on that. This means that God is able to create something beautiful from your mistakes and turn them into opportunities for people to see his goodness. If that doesn't free you, I don't know what will. So don't get worked up when God seems silent at times. Pray about your situation, ask God for help, then choose what seems best to you and take a step of faith. He'll guide you, he'll direct you, he'll steer you in the right direction. Third reason God may seem silent to you is because maybe you're just not listening. Like I said, I've been in all these places. God is speaking, but you're not listening. Look again what our text says. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. I think most of us really know that mules are those proverbial stubborn creatures, right? That don't have any sense like we should have. If you want a mule or a horse to follow your lead, you have to, you know, use a bit or a bridle, just like it says. Possibly even a whip or a spur, right? And that should be a warning to us, I believe. God says, do not be stubborn and senseless. He's given us his moral and spiritual guidance through the Bible. Therefore, we're to follow its instructions. We're to listen when he speaks to our hearts, to correct us, to convict us, or to comfort us. And we're to live in a way that pleases him by loving the people around us that he's put in our path, right? The fourth reason, I think, is the most important when it comes to receiving the promise of God's guidance, and it's why you might not be hearing his voice, is because you have not fulfilled the premise to the promise. Every promise has a premise. They are not unconditional. If the premise is not met, then there's no obligation for God to fulfill his promise. It's like a child that's told, if you eat your vegetables, then you can have dessert, right? The promise is dessert, right? You can have dessert. But the premise is that you must first eat your vegetables. Poor kids. Now, if it was Alberta beef, you wouldn't have to say that. It's like, skip the dessert, give me more steak. Anyways, I digress. So what's the premise then? What's the premise of God's promise of guidance? It's actually found at the end of our text today. He says, all you whose hearts are pure. So God's promise to guide is only for those whose hearts are pure. That tells me that the opposite is also true, right? There's no promise of guidance for those whose hearts are impure. That means that we have a problem, folks, because the ancient preacher Isaiah tells us that we are all infected and impure with sin. And now if you're new to all this, you might balk at the idea of sin and being a sinner, because we typically think of the worst of the worst, right? Murderers, robbers, all those horrible things. But that's not what this word's referring to. Sin, I've mentioned this many times, but it's an old English word that simply means to miss the mark, just missing it. When we consider how the different writers in the Bible use this term, sin, it means simply to choose what we want instead of choosing God's best for us, what he wants. And in that way, it totally has the exact same meaning, right? Because when we choose to do what we want with our lives, we miss the mark of God's best for us. Isaiah again makes this point when he wrote, we're all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way. We're going to come back to this verse because it doesn't end there, which is a good thing, right? When you read that, because it says that everybody essentially is hooped, right? We've all blown it. We're impure with sin. All of us have done our own thing. All of us have gone our own way. And this is where I usually hear people say, oh, but that's all part of being human, right? Everyone needs to sow their wild oats. Eventually they grow up and their good deeds outweigh their bad, blah, blah, blah. They think that as long as their good deeds outweigh all the bad stuff they've done, God will be okay with that. But I think as we've now seen, it's not a matter of doing more good than bad. Because sin, as Isaiah says, is an infection. It's not something that can be weighed on a scale. Sin is what makes us impure, that it infects us. And Paul seems to agree with this when he wrote a letter to church in Ephesus in Greece. He says, you can be sure of this, the kingdom of God, or kingdom of Christ and of God, will never belong to anyone who is impure. So the bad news then is that none of us, there's nothing that we can do. No good deeds, no pious acts, no sacrifices that are able to help us get rid of the stain of sin on our souls. It's impossible for us to become pure on our own. We can't do it. But the good news is we don't have to, because someone's already done it for us. Here's where we need to go back to Isaiah. He says, we're all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost, right? We've all done our own thing, gone our own way. And God has piled all our sins, everything we've done wrong, on him. On him. Who's him? Jesus, right? The Bible tells us that only through Jesus' sacrifice can we ever hope to ever be made pure and free from the penalty of sin in our lives. John was probably Jesus' closest friend and follower. I want you to listen to what he wrote about this to the early church. He says, if we're living in the light of God's presence, we're living with him, just as Jesus does, then we have wonderful fellowship and joy with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from every sin. Wow. So John says that it's Jesus' sacrifice that cleanses us of the impurity of sin in our lives. The blood that he shed washes our sin away. All we have to do is confess that we indeed believe it, and we need it. We believe it, and we need it, and then receive it. How do we do that? Well, John, again, goes on to explain. If we confess our sin to God, he'll keep his promise, another promise. What's the premise? If we confess our sins to God, he will keep his promise and do what is right. He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all our wrongdoings. Purify us. So if you're hearing this today, and this is where you find yourself, needing and wanting God to cleanse you of sin and make you pure in his sight, so he'll welcome you into his heaven, then I want to help you before I wrap up this talk today by leading you in a short prayer to God. And if everybody could bow their heads at this time, close your eyes before we pray. And you know, if you're going to be praying with me for the first time, this prayer, can you just let me know by raising your hand so I know who I'm praying with? Thank you. Jesus died to pay the price for you, to be freed from sin. And he rose from the dead to give you a new life of purpose right now, a life that'll last forever with him. And so again, if this is you, just follow along silently in your heart. God will hear you because he already knows your heart. He knows you want to take the step. So let's pray together. Dear God, thank you that you love me so much that you sent Jesus to deal with the punishment for my sin and make me pure, restoring my relationship with you. God, I accept your invitation to a new life with you today and a hope of eternal life with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for showing me how much God loves me by coming and dying for me. I really don't understand it all yet, but I do believe that you are God. You came, you lived, you died, and you rose again, proving that as God, only you have power over life and death. And that same power is able to save me and help me to live for you from this day forward and forever. Thank you for your promise to guide me through this life. Please help me to follow you every day, to hear your voice, to know your Holy Spirit's direction in what I should do, what decisions I should make, how I should live. Help me to learn more about that as I learn how to study and figure out what you say to me in your Bible. God, I want all this so I can live my best life ever by living your way. And I want to share the hope I found in you with those who are so lacking hope right now. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Thanks again, God. Amen. Amen. I ask the band to come back. And you know, if you did pray that prayer for the first time, if you could fill in that connect card that's in the seat in front of you, And if you're new today and haven't filled one out, I'd really encourage you to fill that out as well, because if you did accept, Lord, I've got resources I'd love to share with you and to just help you figure out what's my next steps. What do we do next, right? And as well, if you just need some help with anything or you do want to connect a little bit with what the church is about and what we believe and all that stuff, I've got great stuff for that. I'd love to come alongside you and help you with all of that.